Welcome to the Viking Age Podcast, part of the Fansided Podcast Network. Now, please welcome your host, Adam Patrick.
All right, welcome to the Viking Age Podcast, the official podcast for thevikingage.com. I'm your host, Adam Patrick. I'm the editor and lead writer for the Viking Age. Before we get started today, make sure to follow the Viking Age on Twitter and Facebook. The site's username on Twitter is at the Viking Age, and you can follow the site's Facebook page by heading to facebook.com/theVikingAge. All right, joining the show today is Dean Jones. He writes for us here at the Viking Age. He's been on the podcast a couple times in the past, and he also covers the Carolina Panthers for catcrave.com, which is part of the Fansided Network. So welcome back to the show, Dean.
Hey, Adam, thanks for having me again.
No problem. All right, so the 2021 NFL Draft, it just went down a little over a week ago. We were all just having a super busy weekend writing about everything, and the Vikings left this year's draft with 11 new players. So after the guys that Minnesota has added in the draft and free agency, in addition to the guys they're going to be having coming back from injury, what would you say the ceiling is for the Vikings in 2021? Have they done enough to be a contender in the NFC, or are they just a few steps away from maybe competing for a championship?
I think it all depends on how well the new rookie linemen fit into it, to be honest. Christian Darrisaw and Wyatt Davis, I'd expect them to start right away. Both were very impressive. I thought Wyatt Davis and Darrisaw really were steals for where they were, considering their production in college. So I think in terms of the Vikings' ambitions, though, I think a lot of it depends on Aaron Rodgers, doesn't it? I mean, if he's under center for the Packers, they'd be the favourites, but there's absolutely no guarantee of that at the moment. So if we go on the premise that he's not going to be there, I'd say the Vikings were favourites to win the NFC North, for sure. Obviously, the Bears have got Justin Fields coming in, whether he's going to start right away, but rookie QBs do tend to go through some struggles early on, unless maybe they're sort of pro-ready in terms of size and throw motion, like, say, Justin Herbert, but it doesn't really feel like Fields is there at the same sort of level Herbert was. And obviously the Lions have undergone some major changes as well. So yep. I'd definitely say favourites to the North if Rodgers does sort of retire or is traded or holds out whatever goes on with him. But I'd say the roster looks a lot better now than it did at the end of last season. I mean, what do you think about it?
Yeah, I'm optimistic. I feel like I'm usually pretty optimistic at this point in the season, unless there's something major like a quarterback or like the offensive line, you know. But after their draft and they added those, like you mentioned, Christian Darrisaw and Wyatt Davis and even Kellen Mond, I'm happy the Vikings have a backup who can, you know, actually maybe do some stuff if Kirk Cousins goes down. I know Kirk Cousins is like one of the most durable quarterbacks in the NFL, but this is football and you can't count on guys being, you know, 100% healthy every year. Like, it's just, you know, with you covering the Panthers, you learned that firsthand with Christian McCaffrey last year, and that made a huge impact on them. So I'm really happy that with the selections they made, you know, there's a couple where you could maybe scratch your head, but I was happy with everything that happened in the draft. I'm happy with the moves they made in the offseason. I don't mind them signing Patrick Peterson to a one-year deal because I think he can offer more, even if he's not here in 2022, like just what the young guys can learn from him and how to be a pro and where to be on the field and things like that. So I think that was a great signing for them. Even Mackenzie Alexander, you know, they just have a lot more experience on the defense. They're getting a lot of guys back. I think the defense is going to be a lot better. And if the offense is just average, I think that's going to be good. And as long as guys stay healthy, you know, you got Justin Jefferson going to be in his second year, and he blew, you know, the top off last year. So, you know, big expectations for him this year, and I'm very curious to see how everything turns out. Hopefully they don't get off to a slow start like they did last year. But on the flip side, maybe what do you think the floor is for the Vikings in 2021? So obviously injuries can pile up and the team can struggle to win each week. But let's just go with, like, with a mostly healthy team, what do you think the fewest amount of wins is that the Vikings are capable of finishing with next season?
I'm probably going to put the floor at 7.
7, okay.
Worst case scenario. Obviously, that is if everyone's healthy.
Yep.
But at the end of the day, that's not always the case, especially where the Vikings are concerned.
Right.
If one key guy goes down, say Dalvin Cook or something like that, mm-hmm. it completely changes the expectations of the whole team. So, I mean, 7 and 10. Yeah, 7 and 10. I've got that wrong then. Yeah. That's going to take some getting used to,
I think. Yeah, it is.
But yeah, I think 7 wins would be the floor. I mean, there's nothing to say they couldn't get 10 or 11 if, mm-hmm. Obviously, the Rodgers situation plays out as everyone thinks it's going to play out. There's, like you said, there's enough experience now. I mean, it was all well and good letting those sort of 3 quarterbacks go in free agency last year, but mm-hmm. you're replacing them with young guys who, I mean, that's a position where you just get punished. Every single mistake gets punished. And I mean, you only have to look at Jeff Okuda with the Lions, who came in with sort of shutdown potential. And
yep.
he had an absolutely torrid time in his rookie year. So getting Peterson and Alexander's a great move, I think, for stability. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you've boosted the defensive line unbelievably with Dalvin Tomlinson, Michael Pierce coming back, Danielle Hunter returning from injury.
Yep.
Who's going to play the other edge or not? I don't know. I mean, DJ Wallen maybe, or a couple of the draft picks in the mid rounds have got. Yep. I've got some real potential as well. Patrick Jones and Janarius Robinson from Florida State. I really like him, but I don't know if he's going to be a stand-up outside linebacker rusher or not. But yeah, I'd sort of say 7 was the floor. I mean, this is a good team. The line should be improved, which is a big help. If the tight ends can sort of assist a little bit more in the passing game of Conklin and Irv Smith, that's going to help Kirk Cousins greatly, and he'll have sort of a sense of urgency about him now with Callum Mond waiting in the wings, although there's going to be absolutely no quarterback controversy over the next 2 years for me. What comes after that will be entirely up to him, I think, because he's got the sort of playing style Cousins that will maybe go into his late 30s, early 40s if he wants to.
Yep.
But I think as far as the Vikings are concerned, it's just all about his production, really. So it's a big year for him also.
Yeah, it's going to be real fun next year or next season when, you know, Cousins has like a bad game and you know, the crowd or like even people covering the game asking Mike Zimmer, annoying Mike Zimmer, are going to be like, so have you considered putting Kellen Mond in there? It's going to be like, no, like stop asking. Like it's going
to no one thought he'd be starting ready. He's got good mechanics. He's a little bit robotic from what I've seen of him.
But we remember last year when they got off to a 1-5 start, and people were calling for Cousins to get benched and have Sean Mannion play. I saw those tweets out there, and I'm just like, what? Like, bad as Cousins was, you know, Sean Mannion's not the answer. But you know, you put someone like Kellen Mond in there, where, you know, he's got the unknown. You don't know what he can do in the NFL, so people are always going to assume like the best, like that he's going to just be able to come in and be Justin Herbert, you know. But
yeah,
it's going to be. Let's just hope they just get off to a good start, so we just avoid all that.
I don't see why not if everyone's healthy. I mean, that defense should be really good. They resisted the temptation to release Anthony Barr, which I thought was a good move by them. They've got good backup behind Eric Kendricks now if he gets hit again, in Chaz Surratt. Saw a lot of him at North Carolina. Very, very good sideline linebacker. It's all looking up, really. I mean, I'm normally hedge on the pessimistic side more often than not, due to obviously the Vikings' history of underachievement and failure. Mm-hmm. But I'm not... I'll, I had a good look at the roster before, and then I can't really see any weak links.
Yeah.
Obviously, if I was to pick one, it might be Xavier Woods, the safety, alongside Harrison Smith.
Yep. So they got a good Cameron Bynum. He sounds like he's
Cameron Bynum. I really like. I wrote about him as one of the rookies that could make the biggest impact last week.
Yeah.
Really like him. He played corner in college quite a lot at Cal, but he's got sort of the length and the frame to be a bit more physical if they want to move into the back end for sure.
Support for the Viking Age podcast is brought to you today by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. They obsess over their technology developments to provide you with the best tools for your grooming experience. Manscaped is trusted by over 2 million men worldwide. We have an exclusive offer for our listeners, which is 20% off and free shipping with the code FANSIDED20 at manscaped.com. Manscaped has created the best ball hair trimmer ever, the Lawnmower 3.0. Their third generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin safe technology. In addition, this trimmer comes with an LED light for a more precise shave and is waterproof to make your shower shave clean and dry. So once again, get 20% off and free shipping with the code FANSIDED20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code FANSIDED20. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped. So the Vikings also added a bunch of undrafted free agents after the draft this year, including a kicker, Riley Patterson, out of Memphis. He recently revealed that the Vikings told him it is going to be an open competition between him and Greg Joseph this summer. So are you fine with this approach that the Vikings are taking with their kicking game, or would you have liked to see them maybe attempted to sign a veteran kicker with more experience than someone like Joseph?
Judging by the history of Vikings kickers, I mean, you'd probably say a veteran would be a good option, but
yeah.
I mean, you just never know with the Vikings kickers. I mean, we've sort of got to the stage now where if you were a veteran and you had any other option but the Vikings, you'd choose that just purely on the premise of history. Yeah. But like I say, you do find good young kickers in the draft who don't get drafted. I know they picked up a long snapper as well.
Yep.
I know the Panthers drafted a long snapper as well, who thought he was getting...
Yes, I saw that clip.
He thought he was getting a call for an undrafted offer. And found that he was drafted.
That was a good one.
So, fine. It's fine. I mean, if things don't work out this time, there's always veteran kickers on the market sort of midway through the season looking for work if things don't pan out. If sort of the coaching staff aren't happy that whoever they pick as their starting kicker is going to do the business when it matters most. I'm fine with it, to be honest. If Joseph wins it, fine. Mm-hmm. If it's someone else, great. But what they sort of do in the first 5 to 6 weeks of the season will define if they can sort of earn it longer term. And kickers don't cost that much anyway, so just sort of bring in halfway through the season. So I'm fine with it.
Well, if Mike Zimmer's not talking about the kicker after the first couple games, then they're doing a good job. But since I was creating this question because I writing about the kicker just made me think of this. Since you're located, as across the pond, as they like to say, let me ask you this. So why don't you think maybe we see more European kickers in the NFL? So, let's say someone is a really talented football player over in England. We're talking English football now. I didn't want to say soccer because, it's what Americans call it. Maybe they're really good, but they're not good enough to play in a league like the Premier League. So maybe what's stopping someone like that from giving it a shot in the NFL as a kicker? Is it money? Is it maybe Europeans don't view the NFL as highly as Americans do? Why do you think we don't see more European kickers in the NFL?
I think it's quite a niche thing to be able to do. I mean,
yeah,
there's sort of rugby would be more of a sort of a stereotypical thing, yeah, where you're kicking it through uprights.
Yeah.
Whereas in football or soccer, you're sort of a lot closer in. You rarely see goals scored from sort of 50.
Yeah,
50,
I'm thinking. 40. I'm trying to think of like the free kick guys who could like just bend it in and
yeah,
things like that.
I mean,
that.
Money would be a thing. I mean,
yeah
kickers.
Yeah.
I mean, for the top end soccer players, some of them earn in a week what a kicker would earn in a year.
Yeah,
in a season. Yeah. So it wouldn't make much sense from a financial standpoint, but it is a really niche thing, and you do have to be quite well built to be an NFL kicker most of the time.
Yeah, tackle too sometimes. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Which I don't think a lot of them would be too keen on because
so maybe yeah, rugby. Noises. Maybe rugby would be
rugby would be the better comparison, I think. But yeah, because a lot of the soccer players these days are sort of all prima donnas, and like if you touch them, they'll flop to the floor. I mean, that's sort of creeping into basketball as well. So,
yeah,
but there's a lot of that going on. But I'm not too sure why. I mean, not all of them are earning that major money. So,
right.
And they could probably do it. I mean, but I think it's just the physicality thing sort of puts them off. I'd say if it was me anyway. What would you rather do?
Yeah, because there's been a couple. There's been some guys maybe from Australia and maybe even from Mexico and stuff
wasn't it Aussie rules player played somewhere? I'm not sure, but that's a seriously
way back in the day. It was a Darren Bennett. I think he was a punter for the Chargers, and he was from New Zealand.
There was one,
Australia.
There was an NFL Europe over here, and there was a rugby player who used to kick for some Scottish team, Gavin Hastings. He used to be able to do it, but that's about all I've heard.
It always like crosses my mind, just because you know people kick for a living over there, more than they do over here. So I'm like, you know, I feel like the NFL has a bunch of, there's maybe like maybe three or four kickers who are like really really good. You know, we got Justin Tucker and like maybe like Harrison Butker and some other guys. But it feels like
maybe we should give Zimmer and Rick Spielman.
Yeah, like it seems like an untapped
market.
Yeah, like well, you got all these people over here. You know, they're not all playing in the Premier League. Like, you know, maybe entice them to come over here. Because I know the NFL is trying to be more international and everything. And you get someone from London or something to be on an NFL team when they can go over there when they have their London games or whatever, and people will be like thrilled to see someone like that play on NFL team. So I've always just wondered that. I'm sure maybe it'll be something they try, but because you know they like to try pretty much everything. We had, you know, Moritz Boehringer or whatever
maybe that's the answer to Minnesota's prayers, a kicker.
Yeah,
look further afield than just the college.
Even Sebastian Janikowski, he was American, so I was just thinking Sebastian Janikowski, but he's a Polish guy, but he's pretty American.
Yeah.
So moving on from kickers, we'll get back to some Kirk Cousins talk. So based on what you've already seen him do in his career so far, which do you think is the most likely scenario for Kirk Cousins in 2022? Not next season, but the season after. So he gets an extension from the Vikings after an MVP caliber type season in 2021, or the Vikings trade him and make Kellen Mond their new starter for the 2022 season.
Somewhere in between.
you can't do that.
I would lean towards the extension rather than giving Kellen Mond the keys to the kingdom just yet. I really think Cousins is going to have a good year next year. Really, really think he was brilliant after the bye more often than not. There aren't many better options out there. The Vikings aren't going to be trading for Aaron Rodgers or Deshaun Watson, depending on what happens with him, or Russell Wilson anytime soon. They're not going to be on his list of destinations. So I think Cousins is probably as good as they're going to get at the moment. I mean, a lot's going to depend on how Kellen Mond progresses. I can't imagine he'll be seeing the field that much unless sort of the Vikings are blowing teams out or they're getting blown out at any stage. He gets a few reps at the end of a game, which he'll probably not get a lot out of, other than sort of getting an initial feel for what it's going to be like. I know there's some preseason games this year where I'll see some time also.
Yep.
But like I said before, I mean, Cousins has got the sort of playing style. I mean, he's not a Cam Newton. He's not going to take hits all day long. So I think if he wants to play sort of into his late 30s, his early 40s, he could. A lot of it will depend on the money, because I know he's in a significant amount from the Vikings since he's come, all guaranteed as well. So
yeah, I was just going to ask you, do you think the cost will sway into this decision as well?
Yeah, and obviously you've got the salary cap going up to an unreal amount with this new TV deal as well. So that's going to put Cousins in a strong position if he has a good year. Personally, I would, even if he does have a good year this year, I would leave it until the year after. And see where they're at with Calamond, whether he's going to be ready to start then, how well Cousins is playing, what money is he after, how long is he after it for, and then take it from there, really. I mean, this year's draft class isn't great for quarterbacks as well, which is why I think they went and pulled the trigger on Calamond so early, once he dropped into the third round. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot worse quarterbacks than Cousins that Minnesota could have. I mean, you only have to look at sort of the situation in Detroit at the moment. I mean, I'm not sure how you let Matt Stafford go in favor of Jared Goff, but that's neither here nor there. But yeah, I mean, it would be somewhere in between for me. But if I had to pick one, I'd probably say the extension after a really solid season this year, because I think he's going to have one.
Because I look at Cousins' cap hit in 2022. And right now it's $45 million. I just think that was put there more as a placeholder. Like, okay, we're either going to extend him to lower this cap hit, or we're going to trade him. Because you say they should let him play it out, but I don't think the Vikings want him to have a $45 million cap hit. That would be pretty ridiculous. For I think that'd be one of the highest in the NFL. I know it would be one of the highest.
I think it depends how much the cap's going to go up as well. I mean,
that's true. That is true. I don't know if it's going to go up too much,
in
1 year, because of all the pandemic stuff. Because they're gonna get more people back and everything. But you know, it could go. We don't know. I think a lot of people expected the cap to go down a lot more than it did this year, and it only went down like $15 million or something like that, 15, 20. So, and then you mentioned the quarterback class for next year, and I always think of like, we really don't know. Like, we know, like, this year we knew Trevor Lawrence was going to be good. We knew Justin Fields was going to be in there. And then, you know, I don't think many people predicted Zach Wilson to have the year that he had. And I'm sure people knew about him before this year, but he came out of nowhere with having a pretty great season. He ended up with the number two pick, Trey Lance. You know, I know people were interested in him before, but I don't know if people thought he would go number three. So it's a lot of unknown. We're like super early in the draft, 2022 draft process. I've already seen plenty of 2022 mocks. So we even published one on the Viking Age the other day, because got to do it.
Why not?
Yeah.
But going back to Cousins, just one final point. It's like, but where does it end? Like, if you just extend him, if you're kicking the can down the road, at the end of the day, on that last year of the deal, you're still going to end up paying him sort of stupid money. So I would rather pay him it while he's still sort of relatively in his prime, rather than when it's too late and he maybe regresses, and then you're still on the hook for all this guaranteed money, even if you do release him. So that's the way I'd sort of look at it.
Yeah, and people wondering, like, well, who would trade for Kirk Cousins? And I'm like, well, people traded for Alex Smith. People traded for, Joe Flacco. So, you know, anyone can get traded. And I think Cousins is way more respected within the NFL than he is maybe on the outside of fans' perspective. You know, look at Kyle Shanahan. He, like, raves about him all the time. So moving on to... let's talk about the Panthers a little bit, since, you know, you cover them for catcrave.com. Last time I had you on here, Teddy Bridgewater was still a member of Carolina's roster. But since then, he's been traded to the Broncos, and the Panthers are moving forward with Sam Darnold, who they acquired in a trade with the Jets. So do you think Bridgewater got a fair shot in Carolina, since he basically had to put the offense on his back since Christian McCaffrey missed the majority of the season. Do you think, you know, the Panthers should have at least given Teddy maybe one more season to see how he and McCaffrey would have worked together?
I think he was on a pretty much a hiding to nothing going there after Cam Newton. I mean, he didn't play terribly.
No.
But it was just, I mean, they lost 8 games by 1 score last year.
Mm-hmm.
And he was under center for every game winning or tying drive. So obviously that's the main trigger behind him trying to go another way, I think. Also his lack of chemistry with DJ Moore. I know DJ went over 1,000 yards, but I think his catch percentage was only 55%.
Oh, wow.
And he got in, I think Bridgewater threw about 7 interceptions in his direction during the season as well. So that just the timing was off with his number one wideout as well, which didn't help him. I mean, the pass protection wasn't great either, but
right.
Like I say, I think with Scott Fitterer coming in, the new GM,
yep.
He obviously watched a lot of tape from an impartial standpoint, obviously being an outsider looking in. And obviously the owner, David Tepper, is sort of really hell-bent on finding a marquee quarterback, judging by sort of his lingering sort of affection to trying to land to Deshaun Watson all summer. That's obviously taken a sour turn now. But whether he got a fair shot, I mean, I would probably say no.
Yeah.
But then again,
but the NFL isn't fair.
He'll know more than anyone that he didn't do enough either. It's all well and good racking up completion percentage, but when the game's on the line and you've got a chance to lead your team on a game-winning drive, and you come up short again and again and again. I mean, even if he'd have gone 4-4 in those game-winning or tying drives, they'd have finished 9-7 and reached the playoffs.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it is fine margins, but that's just the way it is in the NFL. And Matt Rhule is trying to build something there. He's bet big on Sam Darnold being the guy.
Yeah.
Whether he's going to be or not, who knows? But, I mean, it's high stakes for him as well. I know he's only entering his second year, but if things don't work out with Darnold this year and he's looking for a third quarterback in 3 seasons, I mean, that doesn't sell a great deal about his sort of judgment for quarterbacks.
Were you surprised they didn't go after Fields?
I didn't think they were going to take him, no. Uh-huh. I thought it was what I thought they were doing was making it look like they were interested in taking him. So someone moved up to Denver's place and then Penei Sewell fell into their laps.
Oh, yeah.
So they'd get a left tackle because they're desperate for one. Maybe still are, depending on how the kid from BYU plays out. But I was reading yesterday that J.C. Horn was number one on their big board anyway, so they might not even have taken Sewell if he was there. But I don't think they were ever taking Fields. I know a lot of the fans wanted it for a more sort of long-term option. But at the moment they traded for Darnold, the key was putting him in the best position to succeed. And I mean, it's not going to take as long to find out just how much of the problem he was in New York this year with McCaffrey back, the line looking a lot better. 3 or 4 really good weapons in the passing game, obviously. DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson, David Moore.
Won't have Adam Gase to worry about.
Well, exactly, and he's got 2 really good young coaches, Matt Rhule and Joe Brady, the offensive coordinator there. The wide receiver from LSU is going to help a lot, Terrace Marshall Jr.
Oh, yeah.
They've got a nice pass catching tight end, Dan Arnold, so, and a defense that should be giving him every chance as well. I really like their defense this year. I think it's going to make a lot of noise. So, I mean, it's just all going to be dependent on how well he's going to play.
Yeah.
But he's not going to get another chance to start anywhere else if this one goes wrong, I don't think.
Darnold?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think this is his last chance saloon as well.
Oh, for sure. Do you think, speaking of last chance to start, do you think Denver is Teddy's last chance to be a starter? Because it seems like he's going to be in a competition with Drew Lock.
I don't think he'll be starting there week one.
No, you don't think so?
No. I think if... Aaron Rodgers is going to pick, is going to go anywhere. Yeah. I think it's going to be there. I think that they would move heaven and earth to get him there.
Oh, yeah.
And that was one of the teams that he leaked out that was that he would go to. So, I mean, he's just walked Teddy's sort of been out of the frying pan and into the fire, really. I mean, I'm not sure if he could even beat out Drew Lock. I mean, I'd probably say Denver have brought him in case Lock struggles again.
Yeah.
And then sort of week two, week three, once Bridgewater sort of fully grasps the playbook and other things like that, then he could just step in and sort of fill the void, maybe. Yeah, but yeah, I mean, he's still getting paid handsomely, so I'm sure he's not too bothered.
No, yeah, he's got some familiar guys in Denver. You got George Payton now, and Pat Shermer's there too.
And he's an easy guy to root for. I mean, it just didn't work out. I mean, fans haven't taken to him.
But he's not going to be a problem in the locker room or anything like that.
No. And obviously, it just didn't work. If like you said before, if McCaffrey had been there, if Russell Okung had played more than the 7 games at left tackle, things might have been different. But at the end of the day, he didn't get it done when it mattered most and paid the price.
Now, you mentioned Aaron Rodgers, and I'll get you out of here with this. I think I'm just going to ask every guest this question until next season gets underway. But so when week one of the 2021 season kicks off, will Aaron Rodgers be the starting quarterback for the Green Bay Packers?
No. I don't think so.
All right.
We shall all rejoice at the mismanagement of an NFL MVP.
Right.
I mean, he wasn't happy last year when they drafted Jordan Love.
Right.
But now he's in a position of power. After an MVP season, obviously they didn't get it done in the playoffs, but that's sort of by the by. He's sort of got the upper hand now. I mean, I think he's only got 1 year left on his deal as well, hasn't he? As far as I'm aware. So he could threaten to sit out and then leave for nothing. Retire, maybe, go and do some Jeopardy. Or
I don't know about that.
I don't get to watch it, so I just have to take people's word for it that he was okay. But I don't think so. I think it's gone. I think it's past. I mean, we saw it with Brett Favre, 16 years.
Yeah, he's still got 3 years left on his deal.
Yeah. Oh, is he?
Yeah. So he'll be a free agent in 2024.
Yeah. Well, I mean, judging by what people have said about his character and the fact that he holds grudges and he's hard to sort of talk around
he is pretty good though.
Absolutely no doubt. He would turn a team like, say, Las Vegas, Denver.
Yeah. Super Bowl contender.
Instant Super Bowl contender just by being on the field there.
He's 38.
Yeah. He can still have 3, 4, 5 good years left the way he plays. I mean, he's not relying so much as getting out on the move these days as he used to.
Yeah, I'm curious because
What do you think? Do you think he'd be there or?
I go back and forth just because, the Packers can always just give him more money and he can be like, fine, okay. But he's made a lot of money in his career already. I'm looking at his contract now. He's already made, let's see, how much has he made? Oh, he's made over $240 million in his career. So I don't think money's going to be what he's concerned about. At this point, he just wants to, I think he wants to have more input in, like, roster construction and things like that. And I think the Packers are just like, nah, we're going to do it, like, same thing with like hiring the coach. I don't know of how much like input he had in hiring Matt LaFleur, which you think would kind of be important since he's your, franchise quarterback and, he's not going anywhere for a while.
I read that the Bears called Andy Dalton when they were drafting Justin Fields.
Vikings called Kirk Cousins.
Yeah. And, Aaron Rodgers found out about Jordan Love watching it like everyone else.
So. Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of people, David Bakhtiari? He was on like that Twitter online show or whatever that they do during the draft with like Kay Adams or whatever, and he was on there when they found out, and he was like, "Whoa, like I did not see that coming." But I'll go with no too. I think we're gonna start to see some stuff pick up around June 1st because that's when the
Packers, that's the day, isn't it? When
that's when they'll be able to clear the most cap space by trading him and not be left with as much dead money. So if a move's gonna be made, it's gonna be after June 1st. If I were them,
let's hope for some good news around.
Yeah, if a move happens, I would expect it to be sooner than later because they don't want to just twiddle their thumbs and do this during training camp or whatever. I think they want to just get it over with. If he's gonna move on, get Jordan Love in there and let him figure out what to do. But yes, I would love to see Aaron Rodgers out of the NFC North. Of course, we root for the Vikings. Obviously, we don't want.
And I'd probably say Vikings would move to favorites then.
I'm sure some people would be like, "Oh, the Bears are the favorites now," because I've seen some stupid stuff where
Andy Dalton, and then just.
Well, I've seen some stuff where people are like, "Well, if Aaron Rodgers leaves, Justin Fields is the best quarterback in the NFC."
Oh, North. I saw that ranking. Who was that? Was that Adam Rank from NFL.com or Justin Fields?
I think Mel Kiper said it, or somebody else like that. Like I'm just like, he hasn't even played. Kirk Cousins just threw 35 touchdowns. Like what? Jared Goff's better. I think I saw that too, where people are like, is Jared Goff the best quarterback in the NFC North of Aaron Rodgers?
No, he's
like,
not. Otherwise, he'd still be in LA.
Yeah. he's not even the best quarterback in like anywhere. I'd love to see it happen. I think I'm optimistic guy, so I'm hoping he goes to the Broncos. My dad is a Broncos fan, so keeping him filled in with everything going on. He's sending me like texts about like his fiance and how she lives in Colorado and stuff, and like I'm like, oh man, you're deep into this. So I'm trying to keep him updated of everything, and it's fun. It's I enjoy it because it's something to talk about. Like this part of the off season, that's where we start to get like dead. So for something like this to happen gives us lots to talk about until something, and then even when it happens, then you're like, oh, you're like, what are the Packers going to do? What are the Broncos? The Broncos gonna be able to challenge the Chiefs and those teams in the AFC. So I'm very curious. I hope it happens. If Rodgers wants to hold out, if it doesn't happen, go for that too. Whatever he's got to do. Whatever he's got to do. I saw how he's sad that all this stuff came out. I'm like, no, you're not. You know what you're doing. Like, you're just trying to.
Oh, 100%. Adam Schefter was saying that he didn't break it. It was just an accumulation of information.
I mean, everyone's mad at him for doing that, but he's doing his job. He's got broadcasting the draft. Yeah.
Yeah. If you've got the information there to draw your own conclusions out of something, you're well within your rights. If you've got the evidence to back it up, say, he said this, he said this.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure a lot of people already knew this stuff about Aaron Rodgers before, like within the league already knew this, but I don't know if people on the outside knew how bad it was. So he's just like, we got the draft coming up. Let's get some eyes on ESPN. Not that, everyone watches the draft already, but I feel like even more watch it because they want to see, are the Packers going to make a trade? Or who are the Broncos going to select? Like, who are all these teams going to pick because of
Aaron Rodgers? The timing was excessive.
I saw you're the Panthers guy. His dad, Joe Horn, was complaining because, his son got drafted and all they were talking about is Aaron Rodgers. And he's like, what the heck? And I'm like,
people didn't want to talk about him. Yeah, he didn't look too thrilled on the video they released about him getting drafted there.
I did see that, He wasn't really, he had fun on the field and stuff, but he never seemed like he was like a happy-go-lucky kind of guy. He's always kind of seemed like he maybe has a chip on his shoulder or something like that.
Yeah, and he played for the Saints too, so.
He did. It's just maybe JC just will them, but bring out that cell phone or something whenever he gets a pick six or something.
He looks the part anyway, but like I say, rookie corners do tend to go through some complications.
Oh, yeah. Vikings are very familiar with that for sure.
Yeah.
But that's going to do it for us today. So, Dean, thanks again for joining. Where can people find you on Twitter?
For Cat Crave, it's at Cat Crave Blog. And for my personal, it's at DJones_. Thanks for having me, Adam.
No problem. Make sure to go follow Dean on there. Yes, check out Cat Crave. They do a lot of great work over there. Make sure to follow the Viking Age on Twitter and Facebook, and subscribe to this podcast on the Apple Podcast app, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. But until next time, we will talk to you later.